Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Wednesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
I feel good and I'm doing well.
Hey, that's all that really matters. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away $2.5 million prizes during Super Bowl 55. That could be used to buy your dream home. See rules and enter for free today at RocketMortgageSweepstakes.com. Coming up this Sunday, the AFC and NFC Championship Games. And our next guest was a member of the Chiefs the last time they played the Bills in the AFC Championship Game. The last time the Bills were in the AFC Championship Game, 1993. He anchored the offensive line of so many great Kansas City Chiefs offenses and teams throughout the 90s. He played on so many postseason teams and was also a national champion at Notre Dame in his college days. He is a friend of mine. He's a former peer and coworker as we work together at 610 Sports in Kansas City. Joining us this morning on the show, Grunny, Tim Grunhard, joining us this morning on CBS Sports Radio. Grunny, good morning, my friend. How we doing?
DA, it is great to hear you. I am doing wonderful as we get ready for another AFC championship. I never thought I would say another AFC championship, but with this football team and the guy, I think we're probably going to talk about Patrick Mahomes at the lead. Let's hope there's a bunch of them. The Kansas City Chiefs fans are very, very excited.
Pretty amazing. Three consecutive home AFC championship games for the Chiefs. But as you said, Mahomes' injury is story number one. Did it make sense to you that he might not have suffered a concussion and yet has been in concussion protocol?
No, not really. And Andy said that he had the wind knocked out of him. But, I think a lot of times, as you know, these head coaches and the trainers will be a little bit coy with everybody. But when you saw him stand up during the game and he was woozy and a little bit out of it, obviously he had some kind of neurological issue going on. But so the story here in Kansas City is that Patrick Mahomes, and this is all speculation because, of course, they are not telling anybody anything over there at One Arrowhead Stadium, but that he was over there on Monday going through the protocol, taking the test on the computer to make sure that the cognitive issues weren't there, and then going through the other steps of protocol on Monday and then yesterday, and I'm sure he'll do some more stuff today. But, yeah, the thing that you have to realize, and I don't think that a lot of people do, is as well as he is supposedly doing with all of these different tests and all the different things that he's going through the protocol, that if one little thing happens and he's going to be truthful, which I hope he is, I'd love to see Patrick Mahomes play, but I also want to see Patrick Mahomes play for the Kansas City Chiefs for many, many years to come and without a lot of issues, that if he has any kind of headache or any kind of setback, he's got to start at, stage one. He's got to go right back to the beginning. As a coach and as a player, I haven't personally been through concussion protocol, but I've witnessed concussion protocol, and Once you start getting that adrenaline pumping and you get the blood flowing and that circulation going, that's when you see whether you have issues or not. When you're sitting around and you're pushing little buttons on your keyboard or you're stretching or you're answering questions, you know, you can get through that. But, you know, once that adrenaline gets going, that's when you got to be careful because, you know, all of a sudden you get a headache or you have blurry vision or you're not feeling quite right, you can start back at one. So that's what the Chiefs have to worry about. I think right now there's a lot of optimism here in Kansas City and that they think Patrick's going to play, but he could wake up on Friday morning or Saturday morning with a bad headache, and he's got to start at stage one, and he will not be able to play in the game.
We had that report that floated out of Kansas City that maybe it wasn't a concussion, maybe it was a nerve injury in his neck. Sounds like you're not quite buying that report.
Your guess is as good as mine. I can only go from what I've seen and what I've experienced in my career. When a guy gets up and he is unsteady on his feet, it could be just that he got his belt rung. But in this day and age, that's something. That 25 years ago, 30 years ago, when I was playing, that was a badge of honor. You had your bell rung, you go sit on the bench, and you say, man, I was out of it in that last play or that last series. And guys would laugh, and they'd pat you and say, wow, that's cool. It's a badge of honor to have that kind of experience. But nowadays, it's not, and it shouldn't be. So that's what I saw. I saw that he probably got his bell rung, that he was out of it. I'm sure there were some other things that he was dealing with, maybe a sore neck, maybe he did get the wind knocked out of him. I don't think Andy Reid's making any of that stuff up, but, he had something going on. But they don't have to tell us, and it doesn't look like they're going to tell us until he is either in or out, which could be Friday or Saturday before we find out.
Tim Grunhard joins us. He anchored the offensive line of the Chiefs for a decade during the 90s. So, let me ask you, do you think the Chiefs can win this game if Chad Henne plays the entire game?
They would have to play a perfect game. And you don't have to play a perfect game when Patrick Mahomes is in. Now, when I was playing with the quarterbacks that we had to play a perfect game. We had to play a flawless, no turnovers, no penalties in the red zone, don't miss field goals, don't miss, you know, PATs, obviously – you know, doing all the little things correctly in order to win the game. If Chad Henne is in there, I think it's 60-40 that Buffalo is the favorite. Now, I don't think you're going to see that in the sports books. In fact, I think it came out that the Chiefs are still favorite if Chad Henne is playing. I think the Chiefs have to play a perfect game. And, D.A., they haven't really played a perfect game in the last 8 or 9 weeks. Every game they played, they've been within 7. Where the team that they're playing against had an opportunity to beat them at the end and didn't. So they haven't really played a perfect game. So to answer your question, if Patrick Mahomes is in, they can go about their business and play the way they've been playing, and they'll probably win because Patrick Mahomes just wills wins. He's got that kind of mojo. He's got that kind of charisma. He's got that kind of talent. But when Chad Henne is in there, you may see him scramble for 15 or 16 yards to make a nice play. You may see him throw a great little sprint right option pass to Tyreek Hill, but you're also going to see him throw the ball into the end zone like he did, which was basically a fair catch. The defender for Cleveland could have put his hand up in the air and fair caught that. So that was a horrible throw and a bad decision. So you don't see Patrick Mahomes making those kind of plays. And the other thing that Patrick Mahomes has done in playoff games and in big games, he's gone off. And he hasn't proven yet that he has issues in the big game and the big spotlight. So we will see. But I know, I to answer your question in a long-winded, grunny fashion, I don't think the Chiefs could win that game without Patrick Mahomes in.
Let's go back to your AFC Championship game against the Buffalo Bills. This was 1993, Bills and Chiefs at Rich Stadium back in Buffalo on a cold, kind of rainy, windswept day. Joe Montana was the quarterback for you guys. You had come off this traumatic road victory in Houston. You were the underdogs. You'd won at the House of Pain of the Astrodome. You went into the AFC Championship game, and Montana was your guy. That was the first year that you guys had Joe Montana. What did Montana do to change the locker room, the expectations in getting you guys to an AFC title game that year?
Well, a little bit what Brady did for Tampa. And, you know, I talked a little bit about that when Brady moved over to Tampa. Some people called and said, hey, well, you know, what did Joe Montana do? What can we expect Brady to do? He brought, he brought a legitimate quarterback with a legitimate chance to give you an opportunity to win. Joe Montana came in with a swagger, came in with confidence, and when he walked into the room, y'all felt like you had an opportunity to win any game that he was in there because of just his experience and the way he carried himself and the way the guy played. And I think you see a little bit of that with Brady now too. So when we walked into Buffalo in that AFC Championship game, we felt we had every chance to win that game, and it just didn't work out.
Now, Joe Montana was kind of a prankster, right? Marty Schottenheimer was so strict and so serious, but Montana used to tease him a little bit and have some fun and kind of loosen up the locker room. Did you guys need a little bit of that?
Yeah, you know, Marty was. You know, he was an old school coach. You know, if you just look at, you know, they named an offense after him called Marty Ball, which was run the ball. So, I mean, that was as old school as it gets. And we saw Cleveland kind of implementing a little bit of Marty Ball in their run. And Marty Ball just doesn't beat Mahomes Ball. It just doesn't. So, you know, but Joe would bring in a lot of, you know, he had a lot, once again, confidence, and he had the ability to, you know, pull Marty's string a little bit and get him off his game, and he'd do that a lot of times by throwing stink bombs in meetings, and if you were in the bathroom and, you know, maybe in your own little spot, the next thing you know, it'd be snowing white powder all over you and just all kinds of stuff like that. But, you know, we did need that. And I'll give you a prime example. We were playing in Denver on that Monday night game, the famous Monday night game with Elway and Montana. Yeah. And, you know, the last series of the game. Now, listen, we didn't win there in many, many years. And, you know, we're like, oh, gosh, here we go. We're losing. You know, we're down by four or whatever it was. And here we go again. We're going to lose. Even though we have Joe Montana, we're going to lose. And Joe walks into the huddle and cracks a joke, something about the cheerleaders' chaps that they're wearing. And we all kind of look at him like, hey, guys, this is what I do. Don't worry about it. I got it. Let's go. And at that point, we're like, I guess this guy got it. Let's go. And we did, and he did, and we won that game. And it was just that kind of confidence and that kind of attitude that we didn't have in that huddle. That's what Patrick Mahomes brings to the huddle when he goes in. Even though he's in his third year, Patrick Mahomes brings that kind of just charisma into that huddle where those guys believe anything he says, anything that he can do, they believe in. So, that's what Chad Henning, you know, God bless him, you know, he's a heck of a guy, and, you know, he's played, you know, in the NFL for a long time, but he just doesn't have that it factor. Like Curly said in the movie with that one thing. He doesn't have that one thing that quarterbacks have to have in order so you truly believe that you can do anything with that guy in the huddle.
Tim Grunhardt, anchor to the offensive line of the Chiefs throughout the 90s. He joins us here on the show. So I always love your Christian Okoye story. I'm sorry, you're going to have to tell it again for my listeners here. You're on the offensive line. Okoye is the Nigerian nightmare, and you guys are playing the Broncos, and Steve Atwork comes up and tries to hit Christian Okoye, and it's one of the greatest collisions in NFL history, and you are there to witness it. What is that play like?
It sounded like a train wreck. I mean, it was one of those sounds that kind of make your stomach turn. It was an amazing hit by Atwater, and, you know, Christian takes a lot of flack for that because, you know, Atwater was planted on the ground and coming up at him, and Christian was flying in the air like a Superman character flying over the top of the line, he took the worst of it. But, you know, that was an amazing hit and an amazing time, and that probably would have been called helmet to helmet nowadays. And, you know, that was kind of the personality of the 90s. There was some hard-nosed, tough, physical football, probably leaning towards illegal. on a lot of the hits and a lot of the things that were going on, and I'm glad that the league straightened all that stuff out. But, you know, it was fun playing it and just being out. And I remember looking up, and I had a bird's eye view of that hit. And it was something, you know, when you wake up in the middle of the night and you're in a cold sweat and you're like, oh my gosh, you probably think, man, I think I was dreaming about that hit again, because it was a crazy play. And yeah, if anybody's out there bored and they're sitting at their desk at work and they're thinking, you know what, I want to get a little taste of some football this morning. You know, I want to get myself going again. My little adrenaline, a little cup of coffee to get me going in the morning with football. Go find that play, because that will get you going, and the next thing you know, you'll be running around the office and throwing things. But don't do that.
Christian Okoye, Steve Atwater, Strongest Man Survives, one of the great hits in NFL history, one of the great collisions. So you were always so great to me and my guys on the show, and we always had so much fun at 610 Sports in Kansas City. And when the Chiefs won that Super Bowl last year, I just felt this overwhelming glow for you guys as former Chiefs players, because I knew how much it had meant to be so close and yet never close it. And for the fans that we did shows for and the city that has just never lost hope, I just felt so amazing for all of you guys as alumni and the city. How was it to experience personally just what that was for all of you, no matter, you know, where you were in the league's history or the team's history?
You know, DA, that's a great question. And it's like watching your little brother have success. You know, you're done with your little league baseball career, and you're going over and you're watching your little brother, and all of a sudden he hits a home run and wins the game, and you're just really, really excited for him, and you're really, really proud of him. And that's the way we felt as former players. We as an organization have gotten there many, many times. 9 out of the 11 years we made the playoffs when I was playing and got to the AFC Championship game and all that kind of good stuff. But we were never able to put that ring on our finger. And watching those guys do it, it was kind of a completion for a lot of us that job well done. We always felt in the 90s that we set the foundation for the kingdom, as they call it now. You know, we set the foundation.
Sure.
We kind of put the building blocks down with getting the fans back and getting everybody excited and bringing enthusiasm for Chiefs football back. And now they've taken advantage of that. And it comes down to one guy. It really does. And, you know, listen, there's a lot of great football players on that team, and there's a lot of great coaches. But Patrick Mahomes is a different maker. You have a guy like Patrick Mahomes on your team, and you're going to put a lot of rings on your finger.
Kansas City is just an amazing town in every single way. It is an amazing fan base, and I think you're absolutely right. What you guys did in the 90s was restoke the fire of a great football town and create the kingdom, and then the momentum carried, and this is the culmination of it. You know, 30 years later, 20 years later, now it's about winning Super Bowls, as in multiple, which is an incredible accomplishment. So it's awesome.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, back in even, gosh, you know, before Patrick, you know, BPM, before Patrick Mahomes, just winning a playoff game would satisfy the appetite of a Kansas City Chief fan. Just winning a playoff game, which we didn't do a lot of. You know, now with Patrick Mahomes here, and, you know, going to AFC Championship games, going to Super Bowls, it's been a great run for the Kansas City Chiefs, the Kansas City Chief fans, and really the NFL. The NFL has gotten a little bit better and a little bit brighter, and it's really got more excitement in it with a guy like Patrick Mahomes in the league.
Tim Grunhard joining us this morning on the show. Grunny, I still think I got water from the Lake of the Ozarks in my ear after jumping off your boat. So
that was a cliff you jumped off of.
Oh, that's a cliff. That's right. Dude, it's so good to hear your voice, man. Thanks so much for joining us.
All right, buddy. Hey, great to talk to you, too. You have a great show. I catch it every once in a while on my XM radio. So keep on going, bud.
You too, buddy. Thanks so much. Tim Grunhard joining us this morning on the show. Grunny, you know, when I was in Kansas City, that was my 20s, and I had a lot of crazy shows and crazy moments and try new things, and Grunny was always so supportive, and we get a kick out of us and laugh at what we were trying and doing and be right there along for the ride. We were kindred spirits in that way. And Grunny invited me out to his house before and the Lake of the Ozarks, where He had a boat, and I once drove his pickup truck to put a bar in the back of the pickup truck. One of my friends had built a bar for one of my birthday parties, the birthday celebration. And so we said, well, the only way we can move this thing is through a big old pickup truck. And Granny, of course, had a big Ford F-150. And say, hey, can I borrow it to put the bar in the back? Yeah, sure. So let me know when you're going to come back. All right. So we borrowed the car, threw the bar on it, brought it to the site of the party. It was, Granny was always a great sport about everything. So it was really cool to have him on the show. And I feel really good about all those guys that played in the 90s and the 2000s that couldn't quite get over the hump. You know, I'm friends with Dante Hall, and he was part of those teams that came close, no cigar. I'm friends with Lawrence Tynes. He was close with some of those teams as well, couldn't get over the hump. Granny, of course, the same type in the 90s. And for all of those painful playoff moments, now they have a championship to kind of feel like they were part of in some small way. And that's why I feel great about the Bills. That's why I feel great about the Browns. That's why I'll always root for teams to finally get over the hump. I love that the Eagles won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, because for all of the guys that put in blood, sweat, tears, and that sweat equity and didn't get it, to be delivered some type of satisfaction or success, and for a fan base that was there every step of the way and believed and believed and believed, those are the stories that I live for. That is why I love sports, is those stories of redemption, of finally getting over the hump. And it was cool to see Casey get that last year. Hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. I know we got a bunch of KC fans that enjoyed that interview with Tim Grunhardt. I'm glad that you enjoyed that and did a little Back to the Future with him. Also coming up here next on the DA show, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick. Is this year redemption for Tom Brady, making Belichick look stupid for letting him go? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
If one neighbor's not burning the day you need to cook your crow, just ask your next neighbor when they're going to be burning and clearing. If one neighbor's not burning, then the next day the your other neighbor's liable to be burning.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
The wisdom of Torg Bellinger. So glad you're with us here on the DA show. Remember, we are available on SiriusXM Channel 206. Not only the great CBS Sports Radio Network and all of our terrestrial affiliates, but also on SiriusXM Channel 206. That's how Tim Grunhardt said he listens to us from time to time. Phillip Rivers is retiring. 17 years in the NFL, according to Adam Schefter and Chris Mortensen. So Phillip Rivers at 39 years old retires as top five all-time in passing yards. Top five also with touchdown passes. He's fifth in NFL history in passing yards behind Breeze, Brady, Peyton, and Favre. He also retires as the fifth all-time leading passer in touchdowns behind Brady, Breeze, Manning, and Favre. Oh, God, this is just, I'm not great at timing. I don't think Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Famer. And it probably deserves a different day and a different time. If I were to summarize Phillip Rivers' career, it's a good career. It's a good career. I mean, a lot of guys I consider have a good career had like eight seasons in the NFL. If you get 8 years of the NFL, like Grunny just, we were just talking to, Tim Grunhardt had 11 seasons of the NFL. That's a really long, great career. Went to a number of playoffs. It's kind of a beloved member of the Chiefs family and memorable for so many Chiefs fans that grew up on that era of Chiefs football. You know, you get 8, 10, 11 years. Maybe get in a Ring of Honor. Maybe you get in a local Sports Hall of Fame. That's a great career. You play 17 years. It's awesome. Went to multiple Pro Bowls, 8 Pro Bowls, finished top 5 at what you do. You know, that's an amazing career. Phillip Rivers doesn't have to apologize to anybody for anything. He lost a lot of big playoff games. He lost a lot of big playoff games. And he lost multiple times when they were the better team. And I've made this argument. Not everybody agrees with me. I think Hall of Famers should be judged by their peers. Because let's look at Phillip Rivers' career. He finishes top five all-time passing yards. Well, there's no way he's a top five quarterback ever. But nowadays, you throw for 4,000 yards in the season, and that's like you used to be throwing for 2,500 yards in the season. So to me, you have to grade on a curve. Phillip Rivers cannot be considered the fifth best quarterback ever just because he's got the fifth best stats ever. And so when I look at Phillip Rivers' career, again, had a really good career, doesn't have to apologize to anybody, but not as good as three or four quarterbacks at any given time in his career over 17 years. Wasn't as good as Brett Favre, wasn't as good as Peyton Manning, wasn't as good as Tom Brady, wasn't as good as Drew Brees, wasn't as good as Aaron Rodgers. Those are his contemporaries. And, okay, Big Ben might have had a better organization around him. Big Ben won more. Eli Manning might have had a better organization around him. Eli won more. So now we're talking about over the course of his career, there's almost 10 quarterbacks either better or more successful. And I'm going to put Phillip Rivers in. Again, no disrespect to a great career, but Hall of Fame should be elite of the elite, history of the history, legend of the legend. If at no point in time Phillip Rivers was a top three quarterback in his own in his position, top three in his position, top three quarterback in the league, and probably was never a top five, I mean, maybe on his best day was four or five, I'm going to put them all in? No, I wouldn't do that. Although there's this rallying cry for Phillip Rivers definitely getting into Canton, so what do I know? People seem to believe that he absolutely deserves in. But Mraz, you and I have had this conversation many times over. It was a really good career. It was a really good final swan song this year for the Colts. He wasn't great, but it was enough for the Colts to be a playoff team and to give the Bills a scare. But when it mattered, I mean, he threw two passes 5 yards out of bounds that could have set them up for a game-winning score, and then threw a Hail Mary that was 5 to 10 yards underthrown. I mean, that kind of is, and granted, Phillip Rivers isn't at the peak of his powers anymore, so it's not necessarily fair to grade his career on that, but look, there was a lot of times in his career that was the end of playoff games for the Chargers.
Right. Yeah, I'm a big believer on, I don't think the Super Bowl necessarily should be the end-all, be-all on whether you belong in the Hall of Fame or not, but I do think if you're borderline, basically getting to that dance or shining in those big moments is, I think in football terms at quarterback, what puts you over the top and gets you in.
Because you control more of the game than any other position on the
exactly.
field.
Exactly. And I'm sorry, having watched Phillip Rivers' whole career, and we could compare him to his peers and this and the other, his stats might be there, mind you, playing his entire career basically in perfect weather, whether it's San Diego or whether it's indoors in Indy that last year. In the end, Phillip Rivers threw them out of a lot of playoff games, and they had a lot of great teams, especially early in his career, whether they're 14-2, 13-3, and I know everybody will lean on the torn ACL in 07, playing through that in an AFC title game. In the end, Phillip Rivers always managed to be a guy who, when he was controlling the game, threw them out of big games where his peers rose to the occasion and won big games, and I do think in his case, if he's that borderline, not getting to that show and not getting to the Super Bowl is something I will hold against him.
His longevity is going to really help him. Playing for one team is really going to help him. And he might get some sympathy votes because people say, well, the organization around him never supported him properly because the Chargers have always kind of been one or two steps away from truly winning and going all in. But I would argue he played with a Hall of Fame tight end his entire career with Antonio Gates. And had a Hall of Fame running back in LaDainian Tomlinson.
Right.
And the Chargers were in the playoffs pretty regularly. So they were good enough to get there. You know, I kind of feel like Phillip Rivers, again, had a really good career, but just it pales a little bit compared to his contemporaries.
Yeah, that's it. Don't pretend he didn't have weapons. He played with a couple Hall of Famers. And in the end, if you're going to use the, well, Tom Brady controlled the AFC and there was Peyton Manning, well, I knew you, Roethlisberger and Flacco found ways to get the Super Bowls and win Super Bowls. So I don't want to hear that argument either.
So Phillip Rivers retires today. Really good career. Really, really good career. Now, it's interesting because Jay Chapp tweets in DA, maybe the Bills can get over the hump this year. Perhaps this is it. You keep talking about Mahomes has the it factor. What other quarterback in the NFL has the it factor? Brady has had the it factor forever. I think Rodgers has the it factor. I don't think there's many others. I mean, that's the thing, that the it factor is in a big spot in a playoff game, who do you totally trust to rise to the occasion? And even right. Rodgers isn't quite there because Rodgers has had right. some playoff blunders. You put Brady in there, you put Mahomes in there this early in his career where you just go like, yeah, I just assume he's going to get it done. And this season, I would think you would say that about Rodgers. But it's very, very, very rare to just assume he's got this. You know, I've talked about this with Mahomes. For me personally, and I began watching football passionately in the 80s, to me there's been four guys, and maybe three. I felt that way about Joe Montana. If Montana gets this football back, my team's losing. That's how I felt about Joe Montana. I felt that way, obviously, about Tom Brady. If Brady gets this football back, he's winning this game. I'm losing. I feel that way about Patrick Mahomes. And Elway was there. Elway was there, although it was only to a certain point in time because he could get to Super Bowls, but then totally melted down in those Super Bowls. So it was like regular season, playoff game. If John Elway gets this football back, he's going to beat my team. If you got him to the Super Bowl, you felt like, oh, who cares? He's going to melt down. So there was a mark there. But that's it. I mean, that's 35 years of football. So you can't really say, well, there's a, you know, how many guys? You can't really say it. Jovan tweets in, Rivers is a Hall of Famer. If Archie Manning is, well, Archie Manning's not. Archie Manning is not in the Hall of Fame. So the Philip Rivers, really good career. I don't think he's quite at Canton level. I think Canton level has to be the legends of the legends. So that brings us to Tom Brady here. And Brady obviously is still getting it done. He hasn't had to be great in these two playoff games. His stats were good against Washington. I didn't think it was a great game. Heinicke helped keep Washington hanging around. Finally, by the end of it, the Bucs kind of pulled away. Last week against the Saints, the defense turned the football over four times, helped out the Bucs on short situations. Brady had less than 200 yards passing in that game. But because there's this Brady versus Belichick referendum, it is pretty obvious that this is going to be a season where it's advantage Tom Brady. It's because Tom Brady's still playing and Belichick's been done for weeks now. And you can't ignore it. You can't ignore it. Now, let's be perfectly fair. Bill Belichick's team was way worse than the Buccaneers team. Bill Belichick's team didn't have Mike Evans and didn't even have this version of Gronk and didn't have Chris Godwin and didn't have Antonio Brown and doesn't have even some of the offensive line like Tristan Wirfs, and they don't have Jason Pierre-Paul and they don't have Ndamukong Suh and they don't have Devin White. I mean, this Bucs team has talent and this Patriots team really does not. But Bill Belichick picks the talent. And I know that there was Patriots players that bailed on this season due to COVID. But even had they played, the Bucs are going to be a more talented roster in 2020 than the Patriots were. Christopher Gasper writes for the Boston Globe, and he's always a good Patriots reference point for me since I worked up there and got to know him. And he tweeted, Here is Belichick's playoff victories without Tom Brady. 26 years. One. Here's Brady's playoff victories without Bill Belichick. Two. And it happened in one season. Belichick's only playoff win ever without Brady was in that 1994 season with the Browns. Brady's already got two playoff wins without Belichick. Now, is it the perfect comp? Is it apples to apples? Not really. But if you're looking for an advantage in this relationship and who can prove more, right now, arrow pointed Brady hard. Very hard. And I will admit, I didn't always feel that way. I've always said Belichick picked that defense. He schemed up that roster. He picked the free agents. You know, Tom Brady didn't have anything to do with the D. And the D won the 2001 Super Bowl. He didn't have anything to do with the D. And played a pretty terrible Super Bowl against the Rams. And he beat the Rams again in 2018. Those are two rings that are primarily because of the defense and not Brady, even though Brady led them down the field in 2001 in that two-minute drill. The only reason that they're in that position is Ty Law has a pick six, and they slowed down the greatest show on turf for 60 minutes, 59 minutes. But, look, Brady's still getting this done. The Patriots' quarterback situation is a nightmare. Cam Newton proved that even being Cam Newton doesn't mean that you just step into the Patriots and win. Okay, they were pretty awful this year. And Belichick built that roster. So who's to blame for the roster? If Tom Brady wins on Sunday and goes to a Super Bowl without Belichick, oh boy. Oof. They've won one game as a favorite. They won one game as an underdog last week against the Saints. If they go on the road and beat Aaron Rodgers and this Packers team, 13-3, the number one seed, at Lambeau to go to a Super Bowl, that's a big facial delivered to Bill Belichick in the Brady versus Belichick debate. Standing by with our headlines is Andrew Bogish. Mr. Bogues, what do we got?
DA, we go back to Philip Rivers. He is retiring after 17 NFL seasons. He told the San Diego Union-Tribune last night, "It's just time." A full announcement comes later today. Rivers, of course, played this season in Indy. The Colts said last week they would both take some time to decide what they wanted to do, and here's Rivers' decision. He will have started the final 240 games of his career. That is the second longest such streak ever, trailing Brett Favre, who was at 297. Rivers leaves fifth all-time in passing yards and touchdowns. His next gig is head coach of St. Michael Catholic High School football in Fairhope, Alabama. Now under center in KC, the Chiefs are hoping Patrick Mahomes can do some work at practice today. He reportedly made good progress yesterday, but remains in concussion protocol. The Eagles' head coaching search continues today with Saints DC Dennis Allen. It was Cowboys OC Kellen Moore yesterday. Meanwhile, former Eagles head coach Doug Peterson said last night he is leaning towards sitting out 2021 and getting ready for the following season. It is the Toronto Blue Jays who are signing George Springer. Arguably the game's second-best center fielder, gets a six-year deal worth $150 million. Springer joins a Rays offense that was third in runs last season. The Mets were the other team going after Springer. Their best offer said to be closer to $125 million over those six seasons. Just two games in the NBA last night, the Jazz pushed their win streak to six, 118-102 over the Pelicans. The Nuggets roughed up the Thunder, 119-101. College hoops, Florida took down number six, Tennessee, 75-49, and Purdue with a 67-65 win at number 15, Ohio State. And now, overtime hockey in Pittsburgh.
Down the right wing in the Washington zone, chips it to himself further down the wing. In the right wing circle to Letang, fresh on the ice, a shot, stop the rebound, they score! It's Crosby tucking it home, and you can lock the doors and turn out the lights because the Penguins have won this game in overtime.
Josh gets off on Penn's radio calling Sidney Crosby's game winner a 5-4 victory over the Capitals. DA, back to you.
Wait, am I an idiot? When did Mike Lang retire?
I was going to say, where's the Mike Lang craziness?
Yeah, I think there was a time where Lang was only doing home games, I believe, and this guy did road games. But so I don't know if this is a full-on switch or if Mike wasn't there last year. I honestly don't remember an official kind of decision. But you know what I meant to mention on Monday? Ted Leitner is retiring as the Padres broadcaster, so we've got no more Ted highlights now, which I'm disappointed about.
Yeah, and Ted just joined us for Forgotten Classics. Remember,
that's
we did the Doug Flutie-Tom Brady shootout in 2001. Yeah.
That's right.
When we come back here on the show, we've got Advanced Analytics and your epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know, maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
We began the show talking about the weather situation at Lambeau Field, and there could be snow showers, the forecast temperatures in the 20s on Sunday. We were talking about, can you even imagine Tom Brady getting blown out in a playoff game? I can't. We asked you guys that same question. 56% of you agreed with me. 56% said, no, I can't envision Tom Brady being blown out on a playoff Sunday. Rodgers, 12 career postseason starts, is one of only four players in NFL history with at least 10 postseason games of 250 yards passing or more and two touchdown passes. So 250 yards, two touchdowns. Only four guys have ever done it. The others are Tom Brady, Joe Montana, Drew Brees. Pretty good company to be in, having 10 games or more of 250 yards and two or more touchdown passes, which he did last week to continue an amazing MVP season for Aaron Rodgers and the Pack. Let's get your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. And earlier in the morning, we were poking fun at Pete the Body about answering the phones and phone callers and guys that he doesn't want to put up on the air, or they might drop before he can tell me that they're waiting on hold. And the whole thing came to a perfect crescendo. Here it is, your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Okay.
We got a full bank of calls. You can't know it, but we got a full bank of calls.
Well, DA, if you would have said something, I would have told you. Why didn't you say you wanted phone calls?
Nope, that did not happen. So let's go back and take a look at that. Are you going to take the call?
Yes.
Happy birthday, Pete, by the way.
Yeah, okay, who is it? This is exciting.
This is Lance, New Mexico.
With Coach Bob Davey, and then Holly Holm, I'm the only one that predicted it in town, kicked Ronda Rousey's face in.
What?
And nobody else did. They're just so weak here. And I was the one that said she's going to beat her. But every morning you make me laugh, and I thought I'd try to return the favor. God bless.
Okay, appreciate that, Lance. Thank you, sir.
Good job screening, Pete.
Okay. This dude just randomly yells about Ronda Rousey, then hangs up the phone. Great AFC championship game.
Let's get DJ Tommy Q on the phone. Hi, Tom.
Uh-oh. Oh, we're in the radio where Sean calls something up. Stand by.
He said, you want it, you got it. The guy rambles about Ronda Rousey.
Have a good day.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
It could not have been more perfect because we were teasing Pete about not putting calls up, and then in the middle of the segment, he's like, well, we do have a phone call on hold. And I'm like, well, you're going to tell me this? So we go to this guy. Yeah, why don't we go to this guy? Basically, he's the worst call ever. And Pete gets to walk off the set and be like, you see, you really want phone calls, do you, DA? You really want phone calls? An automatic 12 DA of Christmas candidate. By the way, a couple of you guys have reminded us that Mike Lang, voice of the Penguins, taking off the early part of this season due to COVID concerns. So Mike Lang is still the voice of the Penguins on radio, but he's not calling the early part of the season. So it sounds like a lot of you guys want to weigh in on the Philip Rivers Hall of Fame discussion, considering Philip Rivers announced this morning that he is going to retire. Let's do that tomorrow morning, okay? Let's do that tomorrow morning. I'm interested in this because I want to see what you guys think. Lonnie tweets, DA, if Philip Rivers doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame, then Charles Barkley doesn't either because he didn't get the chip. What do you guys think? Well, totally different. Okay, I'm not saying that Philip Rivers doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame because he didn't win a Super Bowl, like Dan Marino didn't either, but is one of the greatest of all time. Charles Barkley is widely considered a top 20 player ever. That part doesn't matter that he didn't win a championship. Philip Rivers isn't a top 20 quarterback ever, let alone a top 20 football player ever. They're totally different levels of greatness. That'll do it for us this morning here on the show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel and Audio Director. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA, and Andrew Bogish on your headlines. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. I'm DA, and the Mothership disconnects.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.